Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017,
run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Plenty of football already gone. Obviously, Wednesday, Queensland 22. Too good for New South Wales 6. That means they have won the State of Origin series, which means that Wendell Saylor and his little driver's cap and moustache looking very jaunty and happy as he arrived in the studio this afternoon. And fair wind to you, my friend. Congratulations. I say it to you personally.
Thank
and
you.
To all of your Queensland contemporaries.
Thank you. Well, we enjoyed having you up there at Noosa for a couple of days. But can I also say congratulations to New South Wales 16s. Yep. It was 16-all, I think, with a minute and a half to go. And New South Wales found something and scored like a 90-metre try to win the game. So I think is Freddie coaching the 16s
as
well?
He did coach the 16s.
So they've won the 16s, the 18s and the 20s. So well done to New South Wales.
All right. So we can really get on board New South Wales in, what, 5-6 years? everything should be tickety-boo. The Panthers 34, too good for the Warriors 22. And the Raiders 18 over the Dragons 14. We'll get to that game in this hour. We'll talk about Valentine Holmes and how highly he rates that win in Origin. We'll get there. And, of course, what does the Fox say right now, though? I know you're gathered around your radios because you all desperately need the chance to win this.
The Triple M Footy Voice.
Yes, indeed. All those of you who either have aspirations to be a rugby league
commentator. You know who fancies himself as a caller?
Who's that?
Billy Harrigan.
Does he?
He loves it. Any opportunity
he gets,
he's whether it's Dan or Maroon, because at the back end of a game, if it's a bit of a blowout and it's getting a little bit boring, they allow us to come in and do some play-by-play stuff. But Billy, he just hopes that they go to the bathroom at halftime and don't come back. He'd love to do it.
Seriously?
Yeah, he rates himself, Billy.
And have you heard him? Is he any
good? Yeah, he goes okay at it. Yeah. He's not too bad at all, yeah.
Okay, what about you, good self, Ryan?
I've had a couple of little goes at it. It's actually quite fun. It's obviously, you know, there's a fair bit of filling. So, you know, when scrums and things like that, and you've sort of got to keep a lot of momentum, whereas, you know, when the experts come in, you get a little bit of a rest. But it's momentum. Got to keep the...
Like that sentence at the
moment. Yeah, you've got to keep it going. Yeah, no, it's too much.
Keep I just momentum. Like.
You've got to get through
it. You know, it's a very,
you
very
just started
good
that sentence and ran out of petrol halfway through, didn't you?
It's those, you can feel that pie coming up there, one of those pies. But yeah,
you know, it's a very, very good caller tone. Obviously, Triple M's very own Dan Ganain, and also the Little Bay Sailing Club number one ticket holder, the great Anthony Maroon.
Yeah.
Champion caller. Very funny. Like, mixes play-by-play action with very amusing banter.
That may be the style you're going for. If you or somebody in the pub, a friend, mate of yours, who always calls a footy over
and
the
you
top.
Need a go-to line.
Yes.
Yeah, like our Dan's is, goodbye.
Really?
Whenever there's a try, whenever there's a runaway, Dan will wind up and give you a big goodbye. That's like his catchphrase. I don't know what Maroon's is, but
he just talks about your missus or my missus anyway. That's what Maroon does.
I love it. So you can look in halfway. You can work on a catchphrase if that's part of your shtick, or you can just be incredibly accurate. I don't know. You can some practice. Go to the pub this afternoon, this evening, and just yell it out.
Have you done it, Tone?
No. God bless you. No.
They don't pay enough, the play-by-play.
rubbish, that stuff. There's been some... Frank Hyde, the original Frank Hyde. Yes. It's long enough, it's high enough, it's straight between the posts, and the touch judge have waved it away. Very accurate, Frank.
Even in...
He's blind as a bat, wasn't he, Frank?
Yeah.
I know, even in AFL, you know, he's got some good ones. Bruce McAvaney's been good over his. I know this is league, but, you know, Triple M, we do a bit of both, don't we?
Yeah, Hollywood and Zorba, of course, were, you know, famous. Big Rex Mossop.
Rabs.
There's only one Ray Warren.
What about Ryan HG?
Well, different.
Different, okay.
Different, yeah. I think, certainly.
Yeah, depends on your style.
And Big Darryl Eastlake, we talk about State of Origin. He would come on board at State of Origin time and it would be huge. Huge was his catchphrase.
The Bear and Maurice.
Ian Maurice. There are so many of them out there. You could be one of them. That's exactly what we need. We need you to get involved, either you or encourage one of your mates. It's pretty simple. I'll tell you exactly right here, right now, how you can do it. Because what we are offering, Triple M, offering someone a footy commentating experience, okay? Mm-hmm. plus tickets for you and a mate to the NRL Grand Final.
Wow.
So right there, you've got every reason to get involved. Who knows, possibly the start of a new career with Triple M. Now, as I said, it could be you, could be one of your mates. You've got to record your best rugby league commentary on your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's your best stuff, you know, your high quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you would hardly
doesn't have to be your first take.
No,
give it your best go.
Correct.
Yeah.
Then head to the win page at triplem.com.au for details on how to enter. It's all simple, straightforward. You can do it. Over the next few weeks, we will listen to your commentary. Only the best, of course,
will
make
we, Tony?
Through. Yeah, we will. I'm obviously, I'll have them.
You're all over this, aren't you?
Nobody's tapped me on the shoulder yet, but I'm assuming I'm one of the judges.
And Wendell's actually going to email you back some tips.
Feedback.
He's going to critique every listener.
Is that okay?
And
yeah,
send
of
back.
Course that's okay. We'll listen to the commentary over the next couple of weeks. Only the best will make it through to the finals, and there will be just the one winner, as it should be. So there you have it, the footy voice from Triple M. Get involved, do it right now. Ryan Girdle, why did you choose two pies when last week you couldn't do the show for food poisoning? I mean, it's a very brave move.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I got just got straight back on the hall. You know when you wake up and you're not feeling great, but you just feel like something greasy?
Right, okay.
So,
when you say you got straight back on the horse, you're not implying that that's what's in the pie, obviously.
What, the horse? I hope not.
All right, so you're at, was it really food poisoning last week?
Yeah, food poisoning last week.
Okay,
and,
okay. And when did you decide last week? Because we went through it with Wendell and I, that the fact that he was had to get his wife Tara to call in when he was sick.
Well, I was dressed
up to do it.
Look, I woke up pretty early, Tony, and was ill. Went out, stayed on the couch from about 5 o'clock, and was on there till about 9:30. Got up, had a shower, and was about to get in the car, and I just don't think I was going to make the journey of about the 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So right then and there, I had to make the call, and I rang Buzz and our producer and said, mate, I can't contribute today. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it in, literally.
Right. Did you listen to the show?
No.
Because you could have given us some pointers or something.
No, I didn't listen to the show, and I heard it really lacked something last week.
Well, like girdler.
Yeah, basically.
We felt for you. It wasn't the same without you. It was like a piece of us was missing.
Yeah. That's beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah. It wasn't a terrific piece.
There was a lot of pieces. There was a lot of pieces of me missing. Foxy.
Wendell Saylor, that's the first time he's ever missed the Foxy.
Yeah, I've given a lot of energy in the first hour, and I just want you guys to have
a bit of... Can you go back and do that again, please? That is outrageous. There you are sitting
here.
You just bagged Ryan Girdle for not being here last week,
and
then you don't even contribute in
that's your best part of the show.
The best part of the show,
I'll bring more to this show than just that.
No, you don't. Here it is.
Foxy. Give it to us, Jimmy Fox. Give it to us. Yeah. Jimmy Fox. I don't do things on cue, boys, okay?
Yeah, good.
What do you got for us anyway, Kurt?
I'll tell you what, the dogs are barking, boys, at Belmore at the moment. So it's obviously in relation to their head coach, Desi Hasler. We know that Des only signed a new deal only a couple of months back, and that's for next season and the year after. But look, as it stands at the moment, they got out of jail last week against the Newcastle Knights. The Knights hadn't won away from home for something like 658 days or some huge stretch of time. But the next 3 weeks for the Dogs is crucial. They play the Broncos. They've got the bye this week. They play the Broncos at Suncorp next Thursday. The following Thursday, they got the Panthers out at Pepper. And then the following Thursday after that, it's a traditional arch rivalry against the Parramatta Eels at ANZ Stadium. And I get the feeling that if they lose all three of those games or they don't aim up, I think Des is on pretty shaky ground.
But Hoops, how does that happen? We went through all this before the re-signing announcement.
Yeah.
So
they needed some stability, Tone, because they wanted to sign some players. And the players who they wanted to sign needed to know who the coach was going to be. Mm. So that was why they decided that they were going to extend Des by a couple of seasons. But as I understand it, I think there's a clause in the contract, which means that if they do decide that Des isn't the right man to be the head coach at Canterbury Bankstown, then rather than paying him out. I think his contract next year is worth around the $1 million mark, and the same the following season. Rather than having to pay him out in full, I think it's capped at about $600,000. So essentially, Canterbury Leagues Club would have to cut a cheque for $600K. But if they believe that it's worth that expense for the sake of their club and for the sake of going in a different direction, they won't hesitate. The chairman, Ray Dibb, has been away overseas for the last month. He comes back this week. And I think that Des and, I mean, Raylene Castle, the CEO, is leaving. Well, she's leaving anyway, but there is some talk that that could even be fast-tracked.
But, Hoops, it just seems bizarre to me, given that there was all that talk about his future on the back of performances. Then they had, from memory, they had a good win. And then that next week...
I don't know if I'd describe it as a good win, Tone. They just won. Beat the Broncos in the wet by, was it a point?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd describe it as a good win.
I'm a Dragon supporter. A win's a good win.
Yeah, look, they...
There's a lot of clubs out there, Hoops, and there's a lot of clubs out there that don't allow players to have, you know, coaches as part of their contract, you know, when there's those clauses in there where if this coach is leaves or is moved on. Do you think Kieran Foran might have that in his agreement?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. They insisted that he didn't have that in there because the Bulldogs decided a while ago, Moses Mbai tried to get one of those clauses put in his contract, and the Dogs stood firm on that.
Oh, good.
As far as I'm aware, they also stood firm in terms of Kieran Foran, so there's no get-out clauses there. But, yeah, look, we'll wait and see. It's not a fait accompli at this point, but results over the course of the next month are going to be crucial for the Bulldogs, and the drums are beating.
Okay, wow. What else?
Look, on a positive note, Trent Robinson, the Roosters coach. The Roosters are obviously going well inside the top four at the moment. They've got the bye this weekend. He's done something a little bit outside the box. He's gone over to New Zealand and he's spent the week with the Super 15 rugby union coach from the Canterbury Crusaders, Scott Robertson. I think the Crusaders, Wendell, this season, they're flying. Like I think they're undefeated.
Great culture.
Are they related?
No, one's Robertson and Robbo, Trent Robinson is Robinson.
He's done a fair bit of travel with Michael Checker They're good mates. So
he's one of those deep thinkers, a lateral style of a thinker who likes to be outside the square and have a look at the way that other people do business and whatnot. So
it's interesting, isn't it, those people who believe they can get something for their sport out of a whole variety of sport. I remember speaking to Michael Checker at a lunch just a few weeks ago. When I was asking that very question, what sort of sports, how far removed from your own sport can you learn something from? And he said horse racing. He's been to horse racing and trainers, and they've taught him plenty of stuff. He's obviously done the American football, all those sorts of things. Trent Robinson's the same kind of guy. He will, whatever the environment he's in, he's going to pick up stuff, isn't he?
Absolutely, If you look at a lot of the best NRL coaches, I know Craig Bellamy regularly goes over and he visits some of the best NFL sides, other US sport franchises, and he also goes to some of the powerful English soccer clubs.
Yeah, but even Wayne Bennett, back in the 90s, he had a relationship with the Denver Broncos. So we'd go to the Denver Broncos and vice versa, they'd come to us and get something out of it.
How'd the dual international go over there?
Oh, mate, anyway, like, it's not even about me, but even, I'll tell you who else is like that. Eddie Jones was like that. And, you know,
He was at Wimbledon the other day. Eddie, so he might have picked something up from that. I think he was there watching,
watching Nick Kyrgios.
He might have had a Pimm's and Lemonade with Tony.
I'm glad he didn't spill any of that strawberries and cream all over that lovely camel jacket.
I've got to post a picture of that on my Twitter
soon. It's not camel. You mean the colour is camel? More sand.
The pants are camel.
I'm calling it sand. Okay.
Is that from Noosa? Where is that? Where are they from, that outfit?
Yeah, Hastings Street, Noosa.
Oh, I love it.
It's got Queenslander written all over it, hasn't it? What else you
finally
got?
Tone, look, just a shout out to Mitch Pearce. He's obviously had a tough time after that State of Origin game. Plenty of people unfairly, in my view, pointing the finger at him. You talk to plenty of champions of the game, Tone. It's pretty hard in a State of Origin game to play off the back foot if your forwards aren't doing the job there. But look, Mitch, he's ducked over to Fiji. The Roosters have got the bye, so he's having a couple of days off just to clear his head and refresh himself over there. And I'm sure he'll be back and he'll be bouncing around on the tips of his toes over the closing couple of months of the competition.
Bulla Vanaka.
Exactly.
Have some cover, Mitch.
I do feel sorry for him. But you get looking at him and how he's operated this year, you get the feeling he will, exactly as you say, he'll lead the Roosters through the back end of this season and play a really important role in whatever they get up to for the...
He'll be back, no doubt. He's huge for them and he's crucial for them leading into the final.
Thank you, Jimmy Fox. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers. Heading towards some footy this evening, of course. The Knights will take on the Broncos, 5:30 at McDonald Jones Stadium. And then it's the Titans up against the Sharkies. That's from 7:30 at Cbus Super Stadium. That is the footy. Of course, this is Triple M. We rock the footy. We call the footy. We do everything we can. All footy. Valentine Holmes was incredibly impressive for Queensland State of Origin. He made his debut in this series. Now, he said at the conclusion after Queensland had won the series that it was bigger than winning the grand final for the Sharkies last year.
I get that, Tony, to the point where I think because he's so young and probably doesn't understand what it takes, even though he's been part of a premiership winning side. But, I mean, if you went to, you know, Paul Gallen or Michael Ennis and spoke to those guys about it, I think if you win a premiership at the back end of your career, you really know what it takes to get there, and I think you really appreciate it. Val's just one of these guys. They come along every now and again, and he's played for his country. He's won a grand final. He's now won in, you know, our Origin series, and he's ticking all the boxes. And I think, you know, you get an appreciation for some of those things the longer that your career goes on, and maybe because it was his third or what was it, his second or third year of first grade now, but his third year of first grade. To win a grand final in your, you know, first couple of years of first grade, you probably think it's going to happen every year.
That's true.
But I think you know, when you grow up, you're a young kid, he was in Townsville, obviously, mate, they put such an emphasis on State of Origin and not so much your club football. I know there was Broncos and Cowboys coming through, and the Cowboys missed out on Valentine Holmes. I don't know how they missed out on him, but I think, you know, when you see the guys like Mel Meninga and, you know, Jonathan Thurston, all these guys go through. So I think they build that up so much. And I think because of he missed it last year, he's always come through. I think the Queensland 18s and Queensland 20s, Val's been there. So I suppose he's, that whole way has been coming through. And then to be a part of, I suppose, this series for him, you know, grand finals, mate, you know, I thought, you know, that they're easy to win, especially with the Broncos. The first year I was there, I was a part of one. I didn't win it, but I was on the bench. And I just thought, oh, this is going to happen every year.
Yep.
So I think, you know, he's come through at a good time, but he's earned that right. And he has changed the series too. Like, no disrespect to Corey Oates. I think Val scored four tries or something, and he didn't miss a beat. You know, even when he made a mistake, mate, he just turns it around and just does something positive.
Absolutely brilliant. The thing about it is that the State of Origin, at least you get to be in the grand final every year, whereas the NRL, sometimes
State of Origin, I mean, is viewed as some people's grand final because sometimes you're playing it, you know, for a club, and by that stage of the year, there's probably about three or four teams that, you know, look at Dan Gagai, tell me that wasn't his grand final. You know, he knows he's not going to be there at the back end of the season. It was all, not that he doesn't put in every week for Newcastle, but that was his focus point. And wow, wasn't he special as well? The first winger, I think, to ever win.
He was,
You know, the Wally Lewis medal. I mean, what an achievement.
Yeah, the closest one or two, I think, as a winger. I think Brent Tate had a couple of real good series. But I just think what Dane has done has been unbelievable, because at one stage there, when the Broncos flicked him, you know, because there was a couple of things that happened there, he was living in his car. So, and Paul White, like, he tried very hard. You know, he felt that bad about letting him go. But I remember speaking to Dane just after that, and it was a tough time because his dad, Ray Gagai, was, like, a legend North Queensland footballer.
Yeah.
And he's very humble, Dane. But, like, you know, South have picked up a good one there. And you know what? Put it down to Inglis. Inglis was the one, because I know Newcastle threw in the lifeline, but I know that Inglis did a lot of working behind the scenes in those Indigenous programs and stuff. And credit to Dane Gagai, he was unbelievable in that series.
Your grand final win, I mean, you'd been through a fair bit before you got
31
there.
31 or 32? Yeah, 31, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, so you knew at that stage exactly what it took or how much it took.
And it was so unexpected for me, Tony, because we weren't a club that was sort of building towards anything. We came in 2001, we came last. In 2002, we came 12th. And it wasn't like we'd been hanging around. And so for me, I wouldn't say that I gave up on the thought of ever winning one, but I think I was resigned to the fact where, you know, it was going to take something really special. So when it came around, I really appreciate it. And I remember we were in the preseason the year after, and I got all the young guys in because we had a real mix that year of obviously some older, sort of more experienced guys, but also we had a lot of young talent, the Luke Lewis, the Trent Waterhouse.
Yep.
We had about half Joel Clinton. We had half a dozen guys just in their first year of first grade. I sat there with them. And I knew I was wasting my breath, but I was sitting there sort of going, boys, you need to realise how special this is. You need to get it. It doesn't happen. I've been in this, you know, it's my 14th or whatever year, and this is the first, you know, grand final that I ever got to play, and we won it. And they're like, yeah, no, we do, we do, we do. But you can't put an old head on young shoulders. And now I talk to them, and, you know, we have our 2003 reunions, and they're like, yeah, and most of them never even got to play in sort of another final series, you know. It's incredible.
Fair.
All right, well, the Triple M listeners, who of course are incredibly smart, have chosen the New South Wales side. They've gone to the trouble already for next season. We'll reveal it next on Saturday Triple M.
Good, you read it out, mate. I don't want to read it out, mate.
Okay, that's next. Wendell Saylor, I note that your mate Willie Mason is involved in that new TV program, Hell's Kitchen,
yeah,
with
Marco
Pierre White.
Yes.
Did you get the call to be involved?
I see Candace Warner's in there too. I got asked would I be interested in going for it, and I said no.
So it's a cooking style of
it's
show.
It's a cooking. So obviously you guys know that I don't mind eating, but I can't cook.
Really?
But also I said, you know what? This is when Dancing with the Stars. I was very unlucky. I got voted off first.
That's unlucky. All yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I went greatest athlete. Billy Slater and I, we held rugby league together.
Yep.
Billy won. I was unfortunate. I sort of finished down near the bottom somewhere.
Last.
Yeah, I came last. Then I hosted it the next year with Mark Beretta. But anyway, obviously they loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on Celebrity Apprentice. Mark Burrows gave me a call. I didn't want to do it, but I thought, you know, Celebrity Apprentice would be good for me. I think I was fourth to get, voted. I'll get fired.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when Mark Burrows fired me, I was that filthy.
Well, yeah.
I gave him a call after the show and said, why did you fire me instead of Pauline Hanson?
She beat you.
Pauline Hanson beat me, That's enough for me. No more celebrity shows. No more Warrior Ninja or whatever, Ninja Warrior or anything. None of those shows. No more. That's it. I'm done.
Okay. What about you, Ryan?
Good. Yeah, they asked me to go on that Hell's Kitchen. Is that Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah.
But the thing, it runs for like 6 weeks, and it's now, and it's like 7 days a week for 6 weeks, which doesn't obviously fit in with what our schedule is here. But I mean, you know, I'm in a kitchen all day, Tane.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would have won the thing.
You would have.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I got fast hands. Like scissors.
I'm going to watch with your fingernails.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I want to see how big Willie Mason goes. I don't know if Big Will can cook. I know he can talk.
Surely he can. I mean, you can't go into those sorts of shows if you can't cook at all. Can you cook, Ryan? I mean, as you say, you're in the kitchen a lot.
I tell people to cook.
But you got to cook. That's what I said. The prerequisite is that you have to be able to cook. I said, look, can you jimmy something up? And they said, no, you've got to be able to cook.
Can you jimmy something up?
Yeah, you know, some of those shows sort of help you sort of...
I'm not aware. I believe that when I see in television is real. Well, if I can't trust television, what the hell can I trust, Wendell?
Yeah, that's right.
What's your go-to dish if you're cooking by yourself? If Catcher isn't there and you've got to cook and the kids aren't there?
I do a mean lasagna.
Do you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 45 minutes in the oven. If it's frozen. I take it out of the fridge, it's 20.
Hoops, you got a go-to dish?
Probably the barbecue, Tone.
Of course.
The barbecue.
Right. He's such a bloke. Yeah. Isn't he such an Aussie bloke?
Just an overcooked steak, that's an allure.
No, not overcooked, no. You go medium rare, Tone. Yeah, little bit of blood. Marinated in a bit of red wine, bit of garlic.
Oh, hello. Hello, Marco Pierre White, get on the blower to James Hooper.
Oh, red wine gets you going, doesn't it, Tony?
Yeah. Had plenty of that.
You wouldn't want to spill it on those camel pants. It's the only camel I've ever seen without a hump.
Oh, there's a hump, baby. Del, do you have an actual go-to dish?
Tone, I just told you.
But
if I'm going to cook something, I wouldn't call it cooking.
Okay. What would you call it?
Burning with grace. No, I'm all right in the barbecue, but, mate, I cook a mean bacon and eggs.
Fried eggs, signature fried bacon.
Scramble, whatever you want, mate. I can do them all, mate.
You can poach an egg.
Yeah, 100%.
You can poach an egg.
Yeah, of course, mate. We can all poach eggs.
We can all poach eggs.
We're all allowed to. I can't poach an egg.
Can you do an egg?
So
white, the beautiful soft white, is over the top of the yolk, and it's like that little puffy cloud ball.
I wouldn't go that far.
I'm a restaurant critic.
I wouldn't go that far, but I'm all right with the eggs.
So when you say you can poach an egg, you can put an egg in water.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
I can just imagine Tristan walking down saying, "Dad, can I have the poached eggs this morning, please?"
Poached eggs.
Why go out for breakfast? Dad, you'll cook poached eggs at home.
I didn't expect to get there, but anyway. The Blues team has picked by the fans.
Here we go.
The New South Wales fans, Triple M listeners. I'm just going to go through this list for you and see how they've gone. It was basically done on the number of votes for each position. James Tedesco hangs on to the number one. Tommy Drobojevic comes in on the wing. Jack Bird is in one centre. James Roberts comes in. Josh Mansour, Matt Moylan in the number six jersey. James Maloney moves to seven.
That's not bad.
Then the forward
good side.
Andrew Fifita's there with Paul Vaughan from the Dragons comes in. He played good last night coming back from injury. Nathan Peets, who we didn't mention in the best of the best debuts, but his was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
Boyd Cordner obviously would be there. Wade Graham, Tyson Frizzell, then your bench of Josh Jackson, Jake Trbojevic, David Clemmer, and Clint Gutherson from Parramatta.
Gutherson?
Coming in. Yeah.
Great player.
He's a good player,
but like... Yeah, nah. He's either got a start or no bench spot for Clinton Gutherson.
Okay. Yeah. Why? He's one of the best utilities in the game.
Yeah, I know.
Anywhere in the back line. He's a big body. He could probably play in the middle if you had to at a pinch.
You're abusing the Triple M listeners hint. When, no wonder you get voted out first in reality shows. Yeah. I mean, the people don't like that kind of thing. Do you like the look of that pitch? I just mentioned there
Was Aaron Woods?
Aaron Wood. That's a big out. Josh Dugan's another big out from them.
Jared Ferguson.
Jared Hayne gets a mention, as in they got votes but didn't quite make the team. Angus Crichton, Nathan Brown, Nathan Cleary, Josh Addo.
Nathan Brown.
Yeah.
What happened to pick and stick from New South Wales, people? What happened? Where's the loyalty there?
What happened to pick and stick after game one for you?
Who won the series, mate? Who won the series, champ? Yeah. That's right. Zip it.
Wow. He started gracious. Yeah. Look at him now. Yeah. He's wandering around the studio, pants off. Just shocking.
I wish you'd take those pants off, Tony.
I'm keeping these camel pants on. The chinos. Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's lawyers. Plenty of sport on and about. This evening is going to be huge in the west of Sydney with not only Arsenal taking on the Wanderers at ANZ Stadium, where they're expecting a full house.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll get a full one. They got a full one Thursday, Tony.
A lot of red out there tonight.
Yeah, they would with the Wanderers. 80,000 and, of course, your team, Arsenal. I want to get to that. They played Sydney FC a couple of nights ago as well. Of course, then there's Wimbledon with Roger Federer. What a story he is.
He's
in his early 50s. And here he is in another final at Wimbledon.
Venus Williams tonight.
Playing Gabin Muguruza. Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially with the last couple of months
she's playing,
had.
Tony? She's playing Gabin Muguruza.
And where's Gardin from?
Gabin. European.
She's South American.
She's a Spaniard. Spaniard. And she's a terrific player.
Yep.
And that would be a great... And Venus Williams, again, what an amazing story. Given what she's just gone through, that's hanging overhead, that the car accident, the fatal car accident that she was involved with, and we saw her incredibly emotional early in the tournament after her first round when she was interviewed post-match and broke down. Yeah. So to carry all of that weight on board, she's come through and she'll play a final. You can see that tonight at 11 o'clock, which will be brilliant. But then, as I said, Roger Federer, I think he's playing Marin Cilic in the final.
And I think he whipped him at Wimbledon, didn't he? Or last time they played, he got beaten.
They've gone a couple of five-setters, I think.
Last time, a year ago in Wimbledon.
Correct. So that'll be huge. And Roger Federer is just, what an amazing human being he is.
I just thought Roger had won his last when he won here at the start of the year. I just thought that was something special, and that was his last one. And we all got to, but he's going to go and do it again. That's incredible.
You would not back against him to win.
Yeah, and right now, I think we spoke about back page, mate. Luke Hodge, he plays his 300 games, so the Cats and the Hawks are playing right now. So that's going to be a cracking match too.
Yeah, Hodgie, who announced his retirement, with four premiership wins, two Norm Smith medals, three All-Australians, and playing his 300th game against Geelong. He's a phenomenal footy player. All right, of course, I know you're a big Arsenal fan, Birds.
Yes.
Talk me through it. Have you seen them in action? They've been quite amazing in terms of the time they've given to coaching.
They've been great. They really have. Yeah, they've opened their doors. And I think everywhere they go, they're such a big club that whether it be, Asia or over here or any parts of Europe, they do attract a lot of attention. But look, it was great to watch them on Thursday night, especially they 10 or so injuries, I think. Like, they had a lot of guys at Sydney FC that probably weren't available, but just to see the level in which Arsenal and their control with the football was something special. And they've got a couple of big signings that came over. One of them's a striker that Arsenal have needed now for a long time. Like I said, he scored his first goal in the last 10 minutes, and that was a big moment for the club. So it would be another great atmosphere out there tonight, and I'm looking forward to watching that one as well.
It's just that pace, isn't it? You see those guys and the appeal guys in terms of that one-touch stuff and how quick they get the ball away from them. It's not just they get how quick the control is and how fast the ball's gone.
Incredible.
And then the accuracy. It's just amazing to watch. Great, obviously, learning curve for all those guys. I know Graham Arnold wants his players to believe that, that's the sort of stage they belong. But it's hard to be a little in awe, wouldn't it? If you're a football player
absolutely
in A-League and then you are playing up against this...
They had about about three or four guys that have come through their youth system, and they got an opportunity as well. And these guys are like 17 and 18, a couple of really talented young guys coming through. But to be out on the same field as, you know, Mercer Dotsel and these guys at that, when you're 16 or 17,
yeah,
just as something that they will never forget. Even the goalkeeper was amazing for Sydney FC the other night, obviously under a lot of pressure. But he's a big Arsenal fan as well, and he swapped his shirt at the end of it with Peter Cech, who's one of the all-time best goalkeepers in the Premier League. So, yeah, it's a big moment for those young guys.
If you are listening in Sydney and you plan to go out there, obviously do leave yourself plenty of time, because there is also at Spotless Stadium, there's the Sydney Derby as well. Huge
public transport's the way out there tonight,
absolutely,
isn't it?
The Swans taking on GWS. There'll be a little bit in this. There'll be some tension. I know that Shane Mumford, a former Swans player who's big bloke.
Who's going to win that tonight, Tone?
Battle of the Bridge, Tone. It got heated last time,
didn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very heated.
And it will again, I think, this time around. I think that, look, GWS should. They're off the back of two draws in a row, which hasn't happened.
Two draws?
Yeah.
No, Stevie J playing?
Stevie J is back.
I love Stevie J.
As far as I know.
Well, he's the one who sparked it up last time.
Yeah, he loves it. He's got a little lip there. But as I said, Shane Mumford, he's very, very physical, having played with the Swans and having had to leave basically because Buddy came on board, Buddy Franklin. There wasn't enough cash to keep Mummy around. He's been an absolute, he's been brilliant for GWS. So get there early. Plenty of footy action. Next, we'll go to a game that, look, it didn't make me incredibly happy, the Raiders and the Dragons. That's next. Important game of footy last night, the Raiders and the Dragons, both teams desperately needing a win. As I mentioned last week, the Raiders just couldn't quite get onto the back of the peloton. They're pedalling as hard as they can, but they just couldn't
bridge
that.
You've been watching the Tour de France?
I've been watching the Tour de France.
Is that what you do up there in Noosa? In your loafers?
You get your loafers and your camel pants on.
And you watch the Tour de France.
You watch the peloton.
Yeah, the peloton. I'm not interested in the breakaways. I'm only
the Raiders got hold of the back seat last night in the yellow jersey.
They've got the back seat, and they're really up there now, the Raiders. If you missed it, I'm going to have a chat about it right now, but this is what happened.
Thanks to Cbus, whether you're on the tools or in the office, Cbus is built to last. Triple M NRL highlights.
Canberra kick off for this game. Plays it back now, Hodgson. Left side, Austin. Oh, he floats one out to the winger, Kotrick. There's nobody home, and he strolls over in the corner. There's a try. Here's Nene McDonald out of dummy half. Oh, he's gone right through Nene McDonald. He's got Widdop with it. He gets it away to Gareth Widdop, and he goes over right out of the posts.
What a start from Gareth Widdop after what's been a quiet month for him, Maroon.
Right in the centre of the park, McInnes, De Bellin, and then Widdop goes out to the winger, Nightingale, who slides over for a beautiful try in the corner.
We're going to see golden point. Here's Whiten, and Whiten gets, well, they're only 25 out from their own line, and it's tackle four. Baptista's at dummy half, goes across to Caesar. Caesar puts a kick from inside
40,
the
20.
He's gone for a 40-20.
He's gone. He's kicked the 40-20. He's kicked the 40-20.
Nine out, play back to Hodgson. Hodgson to Taylor. Taylor's five out. The Coltrane. He got a pass back to Whitehead, and Whitehead scores the winning try for the Raiders.
Yes, there it was. Final look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. The Raiders 18, the Dragons 14. No need for the field goal, although there were five attempts at field goals during that game, all, as we obviously, unsuccessful. But the Dragons just couldn't quite hang on. Gentlemen, as we said, Canberra desperately needed to do it, and they got the job done.
Well, their season was gone, Tony. Yep. If they don't win that game last night and it goes to golden point, and they haven't had a lot of luck in the close games so far this season, but they needed to win. They found a way to win. Dave Taylor came up with a big run at the end, but it was Aiden Caesar playing on the right edge. So traditionally previously so far this season, we've seen Aiden Caesar playing on the left for the Raiders primarily, and Blake Austin being that damaging ball runner on the right, along with BJ Leilua and Jordan Rapana. Last night, Ricky Stewart decided he needed to do something a little bit different, so he swapped those two. Caesar came up with a huge 40-20. Oh, God, that was a big kick. Yeah, it was more like a 30-10.
Yep.
And, it was a big, big play. And, look, congratulations to the Raiders, because it keeps their season alive.
Got Melbourne and the Sharks in the next sort of month of footy, though, so they're going to find out where they are. They're going to need to win probably five or six more games out of the last seven. So they're going to have to come in hot. But they're a sort of side that can be streaky like that. And we saw it with last year when they won
the back end.
So I don't know. They won eight or nine in a row, I think it was. And then they charged into the finals. So, yeah, they're certainly a side capable. But it just they just don't seem to be in the same sort of form as last year, do they? You know, even the glimpses when, you know, they do have those patches in games, it still don't, they still just don't seem to, you know, be as sharp as they were at their best
last year. So exciting at the back end of last year. So exciting to watch. For the Dragons, obviously, they lost Russell Packer and he couldn't come back on. I think he was had the injury needled but still couldn't get back onto the field. Then there was, of course, that moment with Josh Papali, shoulder charge on Josh Dugan. Just have a listen to this.
And it's going to come down for Dugan to take it quite easily in the field of play. And someone had a high shot at him. I think it was Croker.
No, Papali's coming with his shoulder charge. Left shoulder comes flying in. That's a dead set shoulder charge. You probably get 2 weeks for that, Josh Papali.
Yeah, look, I think Jamie Soward's right. That is a shoulder charge, and that did turn the games, you know, because just before that, I don't know how he didn't score, but down that right edge, mate, Dugan, I thought it scored, and he dropped that ball. And they're the turning points for the Dragons, I suppose. And they've only had one win, you know, just recently. But they needed that. They just, they're lacking the killer the killer punch at the moment, or the killer instinct. They're not finishing teams off. Yep. Like, they played better last night on the Raiders, but they let the Raiders back into it. Obviously, Caesar gets them back into it. The big Coltrane at the end pops that ball up, as we've seen. But, geez, no Tyson Frizzell last night, but the Dragons only got themselves to blame.
That was the best performance, though, for several weeks, the Dragons, defensively and in their tech. They were, you know, it wasn't clicking as it did in the beginning part of the season. It hasn't done that for a long time now. But there was certainly there was enough to show that they were in the game, and that power forward running was there as well.
Mary McGregor made a big call, decided to bring Josh McCrone back in. He'd spent some time away from playing in the NRL. Kurt Mann got a crack in the centres. He put Tane Milne back on the bench. And, yeah, look, it was the most they've held their hands up for probably a month, Tone. But unfortunately, the way that they're travelling at the moment, they just can't win those close games. And, look, you'd have to say, you know, it's starting to get to the crucial stage, because as much as they're still in the top eight, they're in danger of dropping out if they don't reverse it quickly.
Yeah, all right. One team that's not in the top eight, of course, is South Sydney, the Bunnies. We are going to have a chat with Coach Michael Maguire after 2 o'clock. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers.